And I Can't Break Free by Kika 988. Narrated by Rhea 314. Fandom, The Untamed, Moldau Zusher. Pairing, Lanzhan, Wei Ying. Wei Wuxian has never been one to shy away from touch. He'll fling an arm over just about anybody's shoulder, lean into personal space to make a point, or poke his fingers to tease. He's never made an exception for Lawanti, but he also never expected it to be reciprocated. Even after he came back, and Lawanti almost never left his side, his touches in return were restricted to the necessary. Which, to be fair, was quite a bit, as often as Wei Wuxian seemed to lose consciousness around him. It's been their norm for as long as they've known each other. Wei Wuxian sprawls into Lawanji's space, and Lawanji tolerates it, at best. But lately, ever since Lawanji left Gusu, abandoning his position as sect leader to join Wei Wuxian in his travels, things have been different. The first few days, Wei Wuxian barely noticed. It was just a brush of their arms, Lawanji walking just a hint closer to him than he had in the past. It escalated from there, but slowly, so slowly. A brush of fingers, when Wei Wuxian passed over a cup of tea, when Lawanji had always been so careful to avoid that in the past. A touch to his shoulder to wake him instead of just calling his name. Long fingers on his forearm to get his attention. Wei Wuxian had shrugged it all off as accidental, maybe inwardly preening a bit at Lawanji becoming more comfortable in his presence. That is, until the day Lawanji lets a hand settle casually on Wei Wuxian's knee as he rides on Little Apple. In a rare show of restraint, he doesn't mention it. After all, the touch is nice, and he doesn't want to spook Lawanji or make him think it's unwanted. It's a little odd and rather unexpected, but hardly unwelcome. His hand is large, and Wei Wuxian can feel the warmth of it through his robes, the point of contact gentle and comforting. Later that day, Lawanji pulls a stray leaf out of Wei Wuxian's hair, then carefully fixes the resulting tangled strands. His fingers are gentle as he smooths the hair back into place, the movement so reminiscent of how Wei Wuxian's Xijie used to pat his head that he finds himself reeling with it. Wei Ying? Lawanji's tone is concerned, his eyes on Wei Wuxian's face as his fingers still on his hair. He starts to pull back, but Wei Wuxian shamelessly nudges his head back up under Lawanji's hand. It's fine, he says a bit stubbornly. Lawanji hesitates, but finishes fixing the mussed hair before taking his hand back. Wei Wuxian secretly thinks he maybe spent a little longer on it than strictly necessary, but he certainly isn't going to point it out, not while his chest feels warm and full from the gentle touch. He hadn't realized how much he'd missed that. Simple human contact. Touch given freely without the intent to hurt or harm or restrain. That night, he can't sleep. It's not a problem he's really dealt with before. Sure, he has his fair share of nightmares that sent him gasping back into the land of the waking at odd hours, his heart hammering in his chest. But the initial falling asleep has never been difficult. Tonight, though, he lies awake, feeling oddly cold and overly aware of Lawanji's presence in the bed across the room. He turns on his side, the moonlight coming through the window providing just enough light to see his friend's profile across the room, to watch how his chest rises and falls evenly as he sleeps. The rhythm is soothing, and he finds himself dozing lightly, though he never really falls into a good sleep. He gives up a little after 5, when Lawanji is woken and is moving silently about the room. Lawanji looks at him oddly when he rolls out of bed far earlier than normal. "Are you ill?" he asks, taking a half step closer as if he wants to check for himself. "I'm fine," Wei Wuxian answers, waving his concern away. You think I can't wake up early sometimes? I just thought I'd surprise you, that's all. Laowanji doesn't look convinced, but he doesn't press the issue. They set out early that morning, since they're both awake, and if Wei Wuxian is a bit subdued, well, Laowanji is gracious enough not to mention it. He places his hand on Wei Wuxian's knee again as they travel, and Wei Wuxian, for his part, chooses to believe it's to help keep him steady on Little Apple's back. That evening, Wei Wuxian finds himself huffing in frustration as sleep eludes him once more.
Wei Ying.
Sorry, Wei Wuxian says instantly. I didn't mean to wake you.
You are not sleeping,
Laowanji says, turning his head just slightly so he can look across at Wei Wuxian. Not all of us can just turn off at 9 p.m., Wei Wuxian returns a bit waspishly. He says, considering. He watches Wei Wuxian for a moment longer, before looking back up at the ceiling and going back to sleep almost immediately. The next day is harder. Wei Wuxian feels sluggish and uncoordinated, and finds himself easily annoyed by everything from the dusty road to Little Apple's incessant braying. He snaps at Laowanji late in the afternoon and feels bad about it almost immediately, but Laowanji doesn't seem bothered. He does, however, make for the inn in the next village they come across. Squinting at the sun's position in the sky, Wei Wuxian speaks up.
Why here? We could probably make it to a bigger town before it's too late.
You're tired,
comes Laowanji's placid response. It angers Wei Wuxian for some reason he can't name.
I'm fine, he says, scowling. I can keep going.
You can, Laowanji agrees. But we aren't in a hurry, so you don't need to.
The undeniable logic takes the proverbial wind out of Wei Wuxian's sails, so he sets about getting Little Apple settled in at the stable. After he heads inside, he follows Laowanji up the stairs to their room. He pauses at the door, frowning in confusion, as Laowanji sets down their dinner tray.
There's only one bed, he says, speaking slowly.
Laowanji agrees. You haven't been sleeping anyway, he points out.
The way he says it, as if the logic makes perfect sense, gives Wei Wuxian pause. His brow furrowed as he parses that out. Laowanji looks over and seems to take pity on him.
This was the only room they had left, he explains.
Wei Wuxian raises his eyebrows.
Did you just make a joke? He asks incredulously.
You just made a joke, he crows, laughing before Laowanji can answer.
I've broken Hong Kong Jun.
Laowanji does not respond to that, instead handing over a cup of liquor. To his credit, it's a fairly reliable way of distracting Wei Wuxian, and it works perfectly well. It's early in the evening, so they linger over dinner for a while. But after the dishes are cleared away, Laowanji pulls out his guqin with a sense of purpose. Wei Wuxian grins and reaches for Chen Qing.
What are we playing? He asks, almost excitedly. It's been a bit since they've taken the time to play together.
I'm playing, Laowanji corrects. You're listening.
Han Chan,
Wei Wuxian adopts an exaggerated pout, flopping down to the mat and leaning into Laowanji's side. Do you not like my music anymore?
I do, Laowanji says,
barely sparing Wei Wuxian a glance. He doesn't shake him off, though, and Wei Wuxian decides to take that as a victory.
But I hope to help you sleep.
Oh. Wei Wuxian feels a little chastised by that, but not enough to back away. Laowanji is warm, and Wei Wuxian has seen him play his guqin with one hand while wielding bichen with the other. So he's fairly confident that leaning on his shoulder isn't going to slow him down much. And
honestly. The contact is nice, and he'd like to enjoy it while he can. The music is beautiful, because of course it is. Wei Wuxian is half convinced that Laowenji emerged from the womb knowing how to play perfectly, as he can't imagine him missing a note, even as a child. The melody is rhythmic and soothing, and he can feel the power Laowenji is infusing into it, lulling him into a light doze. He doesn't fight it, giving in to the pull of sleep with his head resting on Laowenji's shoulder. He's not sure how much time has passed when he wakes, but he's vaguely aware that he's being carried. He turns his face into Laowenji's chest, rubbing his cheek there and breathing in the familiar scent of sandalwood. He has the thought that he could sleep here, just like this, in Laowenji's arms. But then he's being placed on the bed, and something about that strikes him as wrong. "Wait," he says, blinking heavily, struggling to form words. "One bed, you should..." He trails off into a yawn, but fists his hand into Laowenji's robe to keep him close. "You should sleep here," he insists. "I can floor." It's not his most eloquent speech, but he trusts Laowenji to figure it out. "We can share," Laowenji says, as if it's the simplest solution in the world. "You'd share?" he asks, brow furrowed. "With me?" Laowenji's lips quirk up into that almost smile Wei Wuxian has come to cherish so much. "Yes, waking," he says quietly. "Only with you. Now sleep." Wei Wuxian drifts a little, barely conscious but vaguely aware of the sound of fabric rustling as Laowenji prepares for bed, then the quiet clink of metal as he removes his hair pieces. The bed shifts, and there's a warmth at his side, and he sinks almost immediately into the deepest, most restful sleep he's had in weeks. When he wakes in the morning, he's warm. That's odd enough to draw him fully awake. He's always woken cold since his return. Whether it's all in his head or simply a side effect of having a new body, he's not sure. But he genuinely can't remember the last time he woke so comfortable. He slowly becomes aware of the sensation of being watched. It's not an alarming feeling. He still feels every bit as safe as before. He opens his eyes to see Laowenji looking down at him. The angle is confusing for a moment, before he realizes that he's practically plastered against Laowenji's chest, the source of the warmth he'd woke to, and Laowenji is turned on his side to accommodate that, in place of his usual position lying flat on his back. Wei Wuxian's first instinct is to laugh off the position, maybe even to apologize. After all, Laowenji doesn't like physical contact. He'd always said so. Then he shifts a little, and Laowenji's hand tightens on his hip as if to hold him in place. Wei Wuxian goes still, and Laowenji releases the pressure almost immediately, moving to pull his hand back. Acting on pure instinct, Wei Wuxian raises his own hand, placing it on top of Laowenji's and holding it in place on his hip. "Comfortable," he says, almost petulantly, letting the wine cover for his nerves. He pauses, then adds, "I thought you hated touching, though." There's a long silence, long enough that Wei Wuxian starts to wonder if Laowenji is just going to ignore him. It would hardly be the first time. "I don't always hate it," he finally says. Laowenji's large hand is a warm brand through the thin fabric of Wei Wuxian's robe. His thumb moves a little, sweeping a wide arc over the angle of Wei Wuxian's hip bone. He seems as if he's not done, so Wei Wuxian tries to be patient. "I don't hate it when it's you," Laowenji adds. It feels like it should be a heavy confession, but it lands lightly, as if he were stating the obvious. Wei Wuxian can feel realization slowly blooming in his chest. the thought that maybe those touches recently haven't been unintentional at all. Maybe Laonji wants to touch more and just doesn't know how to ask for it.
I like touching, Wei Wuxian says quietly.
I know,
Laonji replies, bemused. Wei Wuxian huffs, pressing in closer, his knees knocking against Laonji's.
I like touching, he repeats, but I think I like touching you best.
He reaches up slowly, giving Laonji plenty of time to back away or protest, but he does neither. Wei Wuxian's finger lands between Laonji's eyebrows, then trails down his nose, lingering at the tip before diverting to the side, his other fingers joining and spreading wide to drift over the smooth skin of his cheek until it's cupped in the palm of his hand. Laonji closes his eyes, breathes out slowly, and presses into the touch.
Is this okay? Wei Wuxian asks.
Laonji nods once without opening his eyes. Wei Wuxian's thumb swipes gently across Laonji's cheekbone as he watches him. He's always known Laonji is beautiful, in an abstract sort of way, but recently he's noticed it in a more intimate manner. He's caught himself staring at the shape of his profile, the easy grace of his hands, the slender bend of his waist, the broad span of his shoulders. Right now, it's impossible to look away from his face. Relaxed and at peace, the dark fan of his lashes over his cheeks. Wei Wuxian brushes his thumb up higher, over the tender skin under Laonji's eye, ghosting ever so slightly against his lashes. At the touch, Laonji opens his eyes to meet Wei Wuxian's. Wei Wuxian can't help but smile in return, suddenly aware of how close their faces are. He pulls his hand away, and Laonji makes a small noise of protest, a sound Wei Wuxian secretly thinks he will treasure until his next dying day.
It's odd, Wei Wuxian says, reaching farther up to trail a single fingertip across Laonji's forehead. Seeing you without the ribbon, I mean.
He runs his finger back and forth where the ribbon usually sits, the skin slightly paler than all the rest.
I like it, though.
Why?
Laonji doesn't usually question Wei Wuxian's motives anymore, so he's a bit surprised at the question, but he doesn't hesitate to answer. Something about the weak early morning light straining to sneak in around the edges of the shutters makes it easy to be honest, as if no one else in the world could possibly be awake to overhear them.
Because I like your face, Wei Wuxian says simply, grinning. All of it, even this bit,
he says, running his finger along that line again.
And I think I like that I'm the only one who sees you like this,
he admits. He has the brief thought that he wishes he had something similar to offer Laonji, something private and important to him that he could share. Wei Wuxian has always been open with everyone, though, and can't think of anything he's held back that he could give.
You said you don't hate it, he says slowly. Touching, I mean, when it's me.
His hand trails down the side of Laonji's face, fingers curling over the angle of his jaw, then lower, palm resting against the side of his slender neck.
You can touch me if you want, he says. I don't mind.
Even as shameless as he is, he can't quite bring himself to raise his eyes to meet Laonji's in this moment. He watches as Laonji swallows, fascinated by the bob of his throat, and feels Laonji's fingers flex ever so slightly on his hip.
Wei Ying.
There's a question there, both in the name and in Laonji's eyes, when Wei Wuxian manages to meet them. For once, Wei Wuxian is at a loss for words, unsure how to answer. So he acts instead, crowding in close. He wraps his arms around Laonji's waist and presses his face into the side of his neck. Without a moment's hesitation, Lawanji's arms come up around Wei Wuxian, pulling him in even closer until their chests are flush against each other and their legs are tangled under the blanket. After a moment, Wei Wuxian moves his hands, running them up the expanse of Lawanji's back. Lawanji stiffens for a moment, then slowly relaxes as Wei Wuxian explores, his fingers running over the raised scars he can feel even through the fabric of the robe. He feels Lawanji's breath over the shell of his ear and shivers at the sensation, pulling back for a moment. Lawanji's expression is wary when Wei Wuxian meets his eyes, and Wei Wuxian is briefly gratified that he can read that, where most would see a blank face. Wei Wuxian brings one hand around, tugging lightly at the front of Lawanji's robe, exposing a bit more of the pale skin of his chest. Can I? Lawanji hesitates before nodding, almost jerkily. Wei Wuxian wastes no time in following through, pulling Lawanji into a sitting position so he can push the thin robe back and down, allowing it to pool around his waist. He sucks in a breath at the sight of the brand on Lawanji's chest. He's seen it before, but never so close. Never when he's been free to touch. He reaches out to touch the burned smooth skin, drawing his finger along the whorls of the sun symbol, brow furrowed at the memory of his own pain, at the thought of Lawanji suffering the same. Without thinking, he leans forward, pressing his lips over the scar. He lingers a moment, vaguely aware that he should be nervous right now, that he should fear Lawanji's reaction. Somehow, he's not. They've been dancing ever closer to something like this for a while now. Even so, he's wary as he sits up again to meet Lawanji's eyes. His lips are slightly parted in surprise, but he doesn't look displeased. It gives Wei Wuxian the courage to move, shifting back and around so that he's pressed close to Lawanji's side in a way that allows him to see his back. It's a gnarled mess. Nanzhan. He murmurs the name without thinking, and Lawanji shifts, raising his arms as if to pull his robe up, but Wei Wuxian stills him with a hand to one arm. Don't, he says quietly. Please. Lawanji turns his head just enough to see the earnest expression on Wei Wuxian's face, and relents with a short nod. Wei Wuxian starts at the top, the uppermost scars that curve over his shoulders, running his fingers over each line from end to end. Sometimes several lines cross each other, and he has to pause to figure out where the one he was following continues, but Lawanji endures it patiently for the several long minutes it takes Wei Wuxian to count and mentally catalog each of them. 33. 33 lines of pain carved into Lawanji's perfect skin. 3 years lost to 33 grievous injuries that, knowing him, he'd suffered without a word of complaint. 33 reasons for him to hate Wei Wuxian, for him to resent him for being the indirect cause of them. And yet, here he sits, open and vulnerable. The enormity of that settles on Wei Wuxian's chest like a 1,000-pound weight, and he tips forward, pressing his forehead to Lawanji's back.
Wei Ying?
I'm sorry. Wei Wuxian's voice cracks over the words, quiet though they are. They aren't enough. Can't ever be enough. But he has to say it anyway. He swallows hard as his fingers drift over the tough ridges of skin.
Does it still hurt?
Sometimes. Lawanji says it like a fact, not an admission, but Wei Wuxian feels the impact of it all the same. Lawanji shifts, this time ignoring Wei Wuxian's noise of protest as he turns to face him. Wei Wuxian's eyes are glued to his left shoulder, to the raised scar that curls around to the front, ending right over his collarbone.
I'm sorry, Wei Wuxian repeats. I'd take it from you. Take all the pain myself if I could. No.
Lan Wangji's reply is sharp, startling Wei Wuxian into meeting his eyes.
This is mine to bear. It was worth it.
He pauses, then hesitantly raises a hand, placing it on Wei Wuxian's chest, right over where his heart beats.
You're here, so all of it was worth it.
Wei Wuxian has never been the humble sort. But now, in the face of all Lan Wangji suffered, it's staggering to be counted as something so valuable. He wants to argue it, wants to deflect the honest emotion on Lan Wangji's face with jokes and shallow laughter, but he can't. After all Lan Wangji's been through, trudging through years of pain that passed for Wei Wuxian in the blink of an eye, this is the least he can do. So, instead, he shrugs out of his own robe, letting it fall around his waist and bearing himself before Lan Wangji so they are at least equal in their exposure. It's a little gratifying how Lan Wangji's eyes dip and widen a little, and Wei Wuxian has to fight the urge to posture and preen a little. Come here, he says, tugging Lan Wangji back down onto the bed. Lan Wangji hesitates, so Wei Wuxian pouts a little. Please? I still need to catch up on my rest, you know. And I slept so much better with you here. That's all it takes for Lan Wangji to relent, laying back down on the pillow and waiting patiently as Wei Wuxian arranges himself half on top of him, his arms wrapped around Lan Wangji's waist and one leg thrown over his thighs. Lan Wangji winds one arm around Wei Wuxian's shoulders, allowing him to rest his head on Lan Wangji's chest, right over the brand. Wei Wuxian kisses it again, daring to linger a little longer this time before resting his head there. They're both new to this, so it takes a couple of minutes of shifting before they both go still. After another moment, Wei Wuxian edges in ever so slightly closer, rubbing his cheek against Lan Wangji's chest and letting his fingers drift down his abdomen, toying in the dips between the muscles there. Lan Wangji hesitates a moment before taking the movement as an invitation it was meant as. Lan Wangji's touches are not light and teasing like Wei Wuxian's. They're purposeful and exploratory. He drags his hand down Wei Wuxian's spine until his fingers hit the robe gathered low on his hips, and then reaches around until his hand spans Wei Wuxian's hip, gripping lightly there as if to hold him in place. Wei Wuxian feels Lan Wangji's other hand then, starting at the base of his neck, then tracing along a collarbone before moving lower. Like before, the touch is firm, as if he wants to imprint the feeling of his fingers on Wei Wuxian's skin. Wei Wuxian shudders a little at the thought. He wouldn't be opposed. Mistaking the shudder as caused by the early morning chill, Lan Wangji pauses to pull the blanket up over them both, tucking it in carefully around Wei Wuxian. Honestly, Wei Wuxian can't fathom how he ever thought of this man as cold. Lan Wangji continues his exploration. Wei Wuxian tilts his head just enough to watch Lan Wangji's face, his brow creased in concentration as he maps out all of Wei Wuxian's upper body. He isn't trying to be seductive. Wei Wuxian knows that. But his body doesn't quite get that memo, and begins to respond to the sensual touches. He starts to shift away, wary of making Lan Wangji uncomfortable, but the hand at his hip tightens, holding him in place. Lan Chan, Wei Wuxian says quietly. Do you want?
No,
Lan Wangji replies quickly. Wei Wuxian raises his eyebrows, glancing down to where Lan Wangji's own interest is rather visible.
Well, yes, he admits. Of course, if you...
He stops and closes his eyes, taking a deep breath.
I want many things with you,
he says after a moment.
But right now, this is enough. You staying here.
Wei Wuxian hides his smile in Lan Wangji's chest, breathes in the scent of him, and feels the thrum of his heartbeat under his lips.
This is enough, he agrees.
For now, he adds. I might get offended if you don't kiss me soon, though, he adds. And he can't help but grin at the hitch he hears in Lawanji's breathing. It'll be very good when it happens, he thinks, a bit sleepily. But for now, just this being close, being the one Lawanji is willing to touch and be touched by, is a novelty he doesn't plan to take for granted. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. Thank you for listening.